needs and demands. They'll be very careful to identify key institutions like hospitals, old age homes, and others, where water supply should not be interrupted, and if it is, that there's a substitute that is in place as well. What also matters, and my colleagues will share this with you in different ways, is numbers. The numbers give us a sense of proportionality. In other words, you can't say I'm going to have a total bodily collapse if all that you have is a little pain in your little throat. Unless there's tenderness. I'm not sure how many of you know medicine and the effects of diabetes. I'm sitting in an old style pharmacist, which I'll come up with those sorts of examples. But what's the point? If your throat is draining, you're not in any catastrophic state. So what's the proportions that we are talking about as we stand this morning? In Johannesburg, you have 1.4 million households. Today, as we stand, 8,000 households have had water interruptions. That's 0.6%. Now, that does not mean that these people are not going through hardships, and that they don't need their daily needs attended to. The proportion is important. Over the last week or so, some 50,000 households, just 3.6% of the households in Johannesburg, have been impacted by one or other kind of water interruption. If we take it for the Lenny, 4,600 households in the municipality, and to date some 5,900, that 1.3% of the calculation has been given to me, and that has been impacted in any way. So over the next week, what we will do is get more and more of this data for you, so that we can share that data both with yourselves, so that you have some sense of proportion of what we're dealing with. My colleagues will also share with you the data that's relevant in their departments as well. There's supposed to be a slideshow for me, but I'm not sure. But let's keep that for now. But the point I want to make from the COFTA perspective is firstly that there's been an answer, for example, in some parliamentary debate that we've only woken up now. That's not true. Minister Malawa will explain the El Nino effect. She'll explain to you how climate change is going to impact upon South Africa and is impacting on South Africa. And since 2013, the South African government has been very involved, particularly through the National Disaster Management Center, in bringing about drought relief in one form or another to many provinces. We can give you a list of provinces that have declared emergencies, and here again, many of the parliamentarians called it on the other day in the debate in Parliament. We do have five provinces that have declared emergencies, which in fact was going to do certain things to receive certain funds, to spend certain funds in a particular way, in a coordinated fashion with central departments as well. So the other key message, I imagine, as I said at the beginning, is that whilst we have certain short-term issues to deal with, let's all countrywide get an understanding of what's the broader set of issues. For example, we are the 30th most diverse country in the world. Let's say there's 200 registered countries in the UN system, we number 30 in terms of the dryness of our country. It's a point that both my colleagues on either side have been making, Mr. Malawa and Mr. Mokonyane, for some time, that water scarcity is a serious issue in South Africa, which means that our daily habits, the way we consume, the technology that we make available to ourselves, our ability to innovate around technology, which will make use of less water and make use of other types of water. You'll hear that from Mr. Mokonyane. It is going to be as crucial as not washing your car too much, or not using your cutting hose pipes too much. As you heard from our global colleagues, they buy 40% of the water that land water supplies to all of the metals around them. And 46% of that 40% that's bought by Johannesburg is used for grafting purposes. Right. And it's possible to manage grafting in a way in which that 46% can drop. If we drop that demand, some of the supply issues that we are facing in Johannesburg will disappear tomorrow. So our ability to persuade our public to do things differently is going to be quite crucial in terms of working in the South African team to cope with some of our challenges. So let me first instance ask Ms. Malawa to explain to you the climate issues, the weather issues, and what the department and the entities are saying to South Africa about what we experiencing now, and there's no doubt we have a spectacular heat wave now that has disrupted all sorts of normality. And you need to understand what the kind of disruption that this actually introduces. He'll be followed by Mr. Motoniane, who will give you a broader picture of where do we get our water, which dams are full, where are the rainfall problems, what does that do to which particular dam, for example, Lake Lunia Dam in KZN, and what are the supply and demand issues that other departments is actually looking at. Mr. Safana and Quincy will explain to us what's going on in the farming areas, commercial farming, communal farming, commercial livestock, communal livestock, and how these two partners are collaborating for us to help the farming sector to cope with some of the challenges that they have. We're looking for numbers at the moment. This is Safana and Quincy, we have some of them. Again, to understand proportionality. Which parts of agriculture actually affected, which part are not. But it's very important to emphasize that the government departments have been in touch with the necessary organizations in order to ensure that we pull them together into our one team approach as well. So in the first instance, may I hand over to Mr. Modelo.
Thank you. So, I want us to start by indicating that we are doing some work, and we have been doing some work in terms of ensuring that as a country we can be able to plan accordingly. That's a very fair point that I thought we should actually inform the public about. Within the space of South African weather services, they are predictions that are done on a continuous basis, and the predictions are fairly on a short-term basis. What we are able to tell you every day about the weather services, I mean the weather patterns daily, but also we're projecting long-term, over a period of 6 months or so. Now, we are having a situation which is a phenomenon called El Nino. Many of us may be familiar with that. And that El Nino is a result of the heating of the Pacific Ocean. And that heating then induces abnormal dry conditions in some of the world and abnormal wet conditions in other parts. For instance, what you may see, the slides are on there. Are they on? In the first slide. Okay, but let me tell you what's coming. The slide that you will see as it comes up shows that this phenomenon actually induces abnormal dry conditions arise in some parts of the world. The Southern African and Australian part, as at the moment, is the one that actually shows that we are in this El Nino process. It is also likely to last for the summer season. Now, you know the summer season, they end around about March, April of next year. And the slide that you're about to see also shows that there is above normal temperature in the Pacific Ocean with the global impact, not only us who are being impacted upon, as we show on the slide. And slide two, if you can move then, shows the high probability of above 50% of above normal temperatures in the Southern Africa between December 2015 and February 2016. That's where you are having the above normal temperature. That's what is expected. The next slide shows the above and below normal rainfall patterns. And that shows that it's got the low probability, lower than 33% of above normal rainfall on the left-hand side of the slide, and on the right-hand side it shows a high probability of higher than 50% of below normal rainfall. Now let's go to the next one, because with all these in place, and these phenomena taking place, we've got to say as happened, because we know already that this cycle now comes after almost every 5 years, 3 to 5 years now, no longer seven years, because of the climate change impact and the effect of climate change. Because we do expect it, we do have to actually continue to bear. Now, this is an illustration that we've been telling. First of all, if we do say and inform you that government responses take many forms. And that those many forms including setting up policy framework, which we have done. In this case, we have a national response, a climate response policy, that policy in place, which was actually launched way back in 20, in other words, during COP17, back then, because it's already ready. And then we also look at issues of research, we continue to research, and the medium to long-term climate impact and adaptation response options that we should embark on. And that work has been done on a continuous basis. And then, of course, the intention, we then look at how we institutionalize ourselves to ensure that the actions that we implement are making an impact. And then there's institutional and operational arrangements, both horizontally and vertically, to address all these aspects of our horizontally remain the factors, the very factors that directly work together, and vertically the spheres of government, national, provincial, and local. And then, of course, there's international response that's related to this work. Not only South Africa that has to act here, and the actions that we're taking are supposed to be worldwide. So there has been that work that is continuously being done, which we'll inform you about in a few minutes about what this is really in detail all about. Then the next issue is about the long-term adaptation scenario. That's a piece of work that we've been doing to ensure that we then adapt in a long-term manner. And the process entails assessing climate scenarios, impact scenarios, and adaptation options that are available for key sectors like agriculture, like water, and so forth. And then, of course, we move to the work that has been done. We do note there that South Africa's vulnerability to climate change and impact are expected and would have been expected on water, on agriculture, on human health, on disaster risk management, also on biodiversity and our ecosystems, as well as on the ocean coast. Our key issue here is that climate change is an environmental developmental issue, and also much so on a socio-economic challenge, and also present opportunities at the same time. So not just look at this as a problem, but that's also as a provide opportunities. Can go to the next slide. We are really saying that the South African strategy is therefore to strengthen planning and implementation process in order for us to anticipate and reduce the risk to variability and change, and also to enhance our ability to bounce back from the negative impact of climate variability change. I'll keep on emphasizing that this is because we know that we have to do this work. We are continuously planning. It's not something that leads us as we are thinking, as our people may be thinking. So this work is continuously being done. So climate change shows that there are various strategic and policy considerations, and there are on that slide. I'm not going to get into the detail, but also to show the adaptation plans that have been completed. To date, there are under implementation by a number of national departments and processes that are detailed there. The Department of Environmental Affairs is just coordinating, by the way, just coordination and their implementation by other people. For instance, we know that if we are not doing anything about the alien and invasive species that are there in our country, these are the plant species that get into South Africa, they don't belong here, and they actually drink and sip a lot of water, sometimes even their potential to run even dry. So we deal with those, and we are continuously, we don't know the same working for water program. The working on fire program that actually is implemented to manage the increase in the fell forest fires that are there as well. If we don't do that, then we will not have grazing on land, and also working for wetlands, concerning the ecological services of wetlands is one of those people to know. Wetlands are producers of our water and civilized water. And then the working for ecosystems, concerning the ecological services and the catchment, so that in Ranongulas, Moyanis people, also when they have to actually deal with that water of distribution, they do find that the ecosystems are in place. So that's the work that's been done in that regard. Now, the key message here really is that we are saying South Africa must adapt to a climate change, a changing climate, and we need to reduce our water use per ton, which is a message that continues to be informed, that we are informed about. And then, of course, we say we must act now, because we are currently experiencing a drought in the climate of El Nino, and the challenge of El Nino, and we must act in a long-term manner, that we have our plans in place. Things that everyone can do are very, very easy. Flush your toilet, low flow of watershed, do those things, waterize gardens, and use great water when it's necessary. And the control of invasive and alien species in our catchments and landscapes are very, very crucial. We will continue to focus on the issues of ensuring that we get air warning systems in place, improving the understanding of the nexus between water, food, and so forth, maintaining the ecological infrastructure and all those things. The life on food chair, I want to just indicate to you that there has been, in this work that we've been doing, extensive research work that has been done in development programs that are right now, as we speak, in place in areas and situations here in South Africa that are water stressed and so forth. For example, the use of biotechnology and plant breeding techniques. They are intended to develop drought-tolerant varieties of important food crops is already in place. So we are doing this work together with agriculture. That is this research. We know that the biotechnology and plant breeding techniques that are now being implemented. We also have other means, like for instance the GMO, executive council, that includes the patents that are around the table here, and health, of course, which is not here. This deals with the very important issue that currently the council has approved the drought-tolerant varieties of maize for production, the water-stress-tolerant varieties, short-term season varieties for fast-growing crops, and long-term season varieties for slow-growing crops. And I think I was selected as a region over Naka, the work that we do in the country, to pilot projects on water-efficient maize Africa, since South Africa is advanced regulation system, very advanced regulation system than other countries. And we do this work on behalf of Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Mozambique, and so forth. We work through institutions like AFC, Sandy, Water Research Commission, and private sector as well as Monsanto. Now, the new varieties of maize and other crop cases, including yields, are under drought and very serious conditions of under pressure. We also need to ensure that we consistently monitor and move more effectively in what ways of harvesting water and ecological system. We also need encouraging planting of indigenous plants that are adapted, and those are the strategies that the strategies are in. And linked to the United Nations Convention Desertification, the right also that we're in there, a coordinating body that is existing to address land degradation aspects, including the doubt that allows technical officials to coordinate sustainably land management issues. As I see right now, we have a pilot that we are running in the Eastern Cape of that nature where we are dealing with land degradation. That's caused by the way these effects where they are applicable. So the interventions are many. I just thought that we should list those few just to illustrate also that there's work ongoing, and we will continue to do that on an ongoing basis. As El Nino gets to maybe just moving us into the summer season, we should be ready, and we are both there to be ready in all aspects, and that's what we believe we are doing in our government, in all of us, and South Africa, to really be ready and to move our work forward.
We must find more opportunities to brief you on all of the technical things that are happening so that you are able to place your reporting in some kind of context. global level and in terms of the work being done in South Africa. And what lastly then happening within government, where as political parties move into election mode, and let's be very frank with you about that, that as political parties are moving towards the election, they believe that you must now defy everything we do and portray to the South African public that we have no plan, no idea, no activity going on, and constantly is what we're going to be able to demonstrate, both at the press conference and in concrete actions on the ground as well. Let me invite them to the
Thank you very much. Good morning. This is again, I think, the third platform since the last time we had a media briefing at the Red Water to inform South Africans on the water situation. And what we want to start with is to share with fellow South Africans all the difference between water scarcity and drought. At first, with regard to drought, drought is understood to be a prolonged period of abnormal low rainfall that usually takes over more than one season, and therefore leading to water shortages. And I think what Minister Mudawa has indicated about the summer season, that is what is then perceived to be, is said to be drought. It should be noted that as a country, South Africa, we are an arid country, one of the 8th driest countries in the world, but experience drought conditions on cyclical days on an average every 10 years, as it has also been presented through the maps that we showed earlier on. And it is for this reason that drought conditions are assessed annually at the start of the hydrological calendar. The calendar is the start of the rainy season, and in the case of South Africa, the start of the hydrological calendar is October annually. Water scarcity, on the other hand, is a shortage of water, and it occurs when the demand for water outweighs the supply of water. And that is what this province county is experiencing. Water scarcity, due to the persistent high temperatures that lead to an increasing demand for water, coupled with the high evaporation rate from water in our reservoirs, and this causes stress on the supply systems and ultimately a system breakdown, as has been experienced over the past few weeks. On water security, let me begin by sharing a few important points and figures to enrich our engagement and provide an easy understanding of our state of water security currently, so that then whoever wants to interact on an informed basis. Firstly, as we stated when we addressed the media 11 days ago, South Africa is naturally water-strained. And we are guided, as Antonia said, the 10th driest country in the world, and with an annual average rainfall of 464 millimeters, as compared to the global average of 860 millimeters. Secondly, I also wish to reaffirm that our regional water supply dams remain water secure and are sitting with a positive water balance. There is a slide that we can show, with a national average dam level currently sitting at 64.3%, compared with our storage last year at the same time, where we were at 74.6%. So generally, there is a downward trend, which is indicative of hydrological and hydrological drought. The bulk of the economic bloc and larger growth points are served by such schemes, totaling 288 schemes nationally. Thirdly, currently, KwaZulu-Natal is sitting at 57%. There are, however, four dams which are at critical levels and which are supplying very strategic parts of KwaZulu-Natal, which are the Hedermeer Dam, the Hoedeproof Dam, the Suswa Dam, and the Klerksdorp Dam, where Mandela restrictions are in place. The current abnormal heat wave has increased evaporation rate significantly, and this is
all of incapacity from 66% to 64%. In order to minimize the evacuation losses from the vulnerable system, we retain storage in the self-contained dam for as long as possible. The dam, as we speak, the self-contained dam, is currently at 96% full. I also want to pause here and thank the provincial government of KwaZulu-Natal, all the mayors, the local authorities in KwaZulu-Natal, and communities, including those who have also demonstrated the importance of partnership under such conditions. The World Cup has also demonstrated the ability of speaking in one voice, promoting adaptability, and most importantly, making sure that there is massive behavioral change. The fourth area, as already stated, five provinces in our country have since declared drought-related disasters. These are the provinces of the Northwest, KwaZulu-Natal, Free State, and most recently, the Limpopo and Mpumalanga provinces. And since then, the drought currently affects just 173 of the 1,628 water supply schemes nationally. The drought currently affects 173 of the 1,628 water supply schemes nationally, serving approximately 2.7 million households, or 18% of the total national population. Notwithstanding this, we also take note that we still also have a number of the unserved in our country. The fifth point I wish to state is that while there have been some disruptions in supply in the Gauteng province, these are not as a result of drought, but a consequence of increased demand on the system due to a heat wave that has affected the province in the last 2 weeks. Currently, the Vaal Dam, which is the main source of water supply for Gauteng, contains a quantity water level balance of 84%. We can safely say we foresee no major water shortages in Gauteng in the medium to long term. However, we must encourage residents of Gauteng to use water sparingly, responsibly, so as to allow us to maintain high water levels in our reservoirs that are managed by municipalities, and to achieve the quite pressure from water to high-lying areas of Gauteng. Also, together with our municipalities, we will have to improve our response where there are complaints or reports of water leakages or gas pipes so that we can save every drop in the province. Together with the metropolitan municipalities, Rainwater is coordinating the operations on a daily basis and jointly they are currently finalizing a recovery plan to replenish the affected reservoirs and water towers. We urge our communities to cooperate and we will be working together with our ward councillors and all other public representatives to communicate one message of using water wisely, saving water, recycling water, and most importantly, adapting to the realities of climate change. On the drought intervention, today we have intervened in drought mitigation measures in support of provinces, specifically what in Natal, and we now busy implementing in the Free State and the Northwest, where some of the worst drought conditions have been experienced. In this regard, the department has invested 352.6 million rand initially, and an additional 96.6 million have been set aside to intensify efforts to mitigate the effects of drought. The resources as allocated have been utilized for the following, amongst others, water tankering. In this regard, government has purchased 18,000 liter water tankers for use in the distribution of water to affected areas. We want to move away from the abuse of this system that is being promoted for tankers and the vandalization of our own infrastructure. In this instance, we are the owners of this particular means to transport water to the areas that are highly affected. As well, that we are doing together with the Department of Science and Technology, the Water Research Commission and the Engineering Commission. under the greater part of Nakamujuzi Mulema in the northwest. The second year on water conservation and demand management, which is the work that we will have to continue doing in collaboration with the Department of Environmental Affairs, that will inform us on the weather conditions. Secondly, giving support and partnering with the Department of Agriculture for the promotion of food security, and most importantly, ensuring that we share this crucial resource with our households working in partnership with local governments. They are also in discussion with the Department of Energy on the water supply for energy, as well as energy supply for the availability of water. And then there are other options that we are looking at, the promotion of hydro systems using our existing dams and future dams, so that then we move off the grid, but we are also able to expand the development of our dams and the capacity. We are also looking at the creation of capacity to provide what is what our own communities are expected to receive from government in terms of their constitutional rights in the form of water banks, where we will provide the required amount per month for a deserving household, especially the indigenous. We will also be working with our local authorities and the Department of Human Settlement and Public Works already on the issues of the detail of design in terms of the system, in terms of water saving in your own bathroom, your toilet, and so forth. In the change of our own construction patterns, this must be changed, and it's work that is underway. That dropping a block in your system will save 2 liters of water. And we do have some of the samples here, including innovation that comes from some of our young people from the innovation center up here in Gauteng, where they change the kind of systems that we can use to save water. But in the main, what is important is about behavioral change. The fourth one is around water source augmentation. Yes, we're looking at the expansion of relationships in terms of transboundary relations for shared basis. I also want to move away from just over reliance on surface water. Desalination is a reality. Responding and the use of acid mine drainage water is also another reality. Many other options that we will have to look at, and in the foreseeable future, when we have rain, it will also be about rain harvesting, and as we change our design, one of the things that we have to do then is to make sure that our properties do have the capacity to harvest the rain. And the last one is around recycling. South Africa is actually the least when it comes to using rainwater. And this is one of the best and biggest ways of us being able to augment water availability. Rainwater is about treating the water that we use in terms of our sanitation and processes, the water that is being used in the mining sector, and it being treated through our water treatment plant, and hence the interventions that we are now making together with local authorities. All now we can modernize our water treatment plant in South Africa so that when nothing is lost, we are able to re-harvest that water that is contaminated, and use the waste to generate energy. And these are some of the game changers we are beginning to introduce. We will, in the next 2 weeks, see some of our international partners working with us in the coastal provinces on putting better desalination plants in the country. We are also working very strongly in this regard, with our municipalities on being sensitive with regard to contamination of our water systems and our different things. And hence, local government has to come and begin dealing with these things. The last one is spring rehabilitation. Many of our areas have got springs where water does flow, and already together with the province of KwaZulu-Natal, we have identified 92 springs that we are already rehabilitating in the rural areas of KwaZulu-Natal. That one is also providing us with alternative water availability. These are some of the measures currently being implemented as part of our emergency relief efforts to the affected part of KwaZulu-Natal. These obviously will be supported by some of our medium to long-term projects in the province and in other provinces to add capacity to our water storage and supply capacity in the future. The way to go is about water storage and making sure that we improve demand management and behavioral change. In the Northwest, fellow South Africans, was partnered with the provincial government in the Maliben and Akamutisimulema municipality. An amount of 184.2 million and 147 million respectively has been allocated to intervene the two municipalities. We have not just given the money, we have gone there with the capacity coming from our water agencies to go in and implement and ensure that the resources allocated are used in the best interest of our own community. In the province of the first state, as with the other provinces, we continue to use our existing banking vehicles such as the regional bulk infrastructure grant, the municipal infrastructure grant, and the water service, and the municipal water infrastructure grant, and that is the water service operating subsidy. Accelerated infrastructure programs to support municipalities to increase the resilience in water supply. We also agreed together with the provincial government of the first state and the metropolitan and municipality of Mangaung to install a pipeline from the Harib Dam to Mangaung. And that pipeline will actually cost us nothing below $2 billion, and the studies have been done. We quite certain that would also be a big changer. We are in discussion with those that are managing our Lesotho Highlands water project, also to divert some of the water and increase the pumping from Lesotho to Boka, the first state, and to KwaZulu-Natal. So we're increasing the supply of water to South Africa, that it should not only be for Gauteng, that it should also cover those neighboring two provinces. So the study is underway, and in the meantime, we are now putting this huge pipeline that is going to give relief to the state. On what level? Due to high water demand, as a result of droughts in some areas and the heatwave in Gauteng, we want to once more help all of us to use water wisely and sustainably. Our joint efforts have the potential to yield significant water savings that would go a long way in improving the water security of our country. We have seen the pressure from the student currency for Gauteng in particular. May I actually share the following? One on water production. Normally, rainwater systems pump 4.664 megaliters a day, as opposed to 4.882 megaliters currently. Secondly, on water demand, the same system has a usual demand from consumers of 4.489 megaliters a day, which is currently now at 4.900 megaliters a day, with the highest recorded recently being 5.008 megaliters a day. But I also want to say, fellow South Africans, the question is also indicated, but it is the northern South, it's not so wet. And we definitely have to do better. The sprinkler, car washing, it's business as usual with many bathtubs and everything that we're doing in the northern South. And then the impact that has been there. So we need to talk to communities in those areas on how we can deal with these issues. And then from what to agree, working in partnership with the residents of water groups areas and what KwaZulu-Natal did, working with Rosimbali and Gilem areas on cascading down some of the things that we have been doing in terms of using water for comfort. And lastly, ordinarily, the system stores 5.812 megaliters a day. However, current storage is 1.9 megaliters a day based on the thread I explained above on the production and on the demand. We've also taken note of our own challenges that went against our intention to treat water as a scarce resource and to save it and use it efficiently. Hence, the partnership and closer collaboration with our local authorities and the implementation of the air to basics are with regard to dealing with the capacity of municipalities. Where they have to be support, we are providing support. Where they have to be direct intervention and control, we are doing that. We also are waging a war on pollution. Phase 1 started in the Vaal catchment area. The project is managed by an anti-pollution task team under the leadership of what is popularly known as the Blue Scorpions. By acting on the media and community awareness program, to educate and create awareness, we've got a number of ambassadors that we are working on, and very soon we will be receiving the names of the province of those that are going to be the water ambassadors for South Africa. All wastewater treatment works are currently being subjected to conditional assessment, after which the department will be assisting municipalities. Continuous water quality testing and monitoring is taking place. In addition to the above, they also rivers of South Africa, especially the Vaal River. It is well known that the Vaal supports 40% of the economy of South Africa and 50% of the population of our country. Ensuring that at the depth of the Vaal River is maintained, is therefore critical. Hence our close working relationship now with the Empuleni municipality with regard to the utilities into the river system, as well as the partnership with some of the environmental groups. Along with this, we have indicated that this is one of the critical interventions that will reduce the amount of water we lose into the river. The mobilization and the capacity that was taken for the country through the 15,000 young people will also make a significant impact. Business and the public is therefore encouraged to report any leaks on the toll-free number that has been shared, which is 0800-200-200. It is our intention to make sure that we are linked with all our physical provinces and strategic municipalities so that then we can reduce the response time and the turnaround time. There is already a disaster management center in KwaZulu-Natal as is meant by everybody. And out of that, we believe that it is the best practice that we can take, particularly for the other four provinces. Thank you.
Benefit additional disaster management center that connects to all of the provincial and municipal disaster management centers actually exist. And we need to, as part of our process, get more cohesion than we have. But we have a facility which can readily be mobilized to actually monitor the whole country as well. Thank you, Mr. Mokinana. There's a lot of material there for you members of the media to pick up on. I don't know how many of you know how many liters of water is used for such a system. Normally. Do we know? And what happens when you drop a brick in there? See, I mean, those are the actual basics, if you like, of this issue. We know that one of the things that we're working on a redesign for flooded systems so that instead of using normal 6 to 8 liters, use maybe 4 liters of water.
You should be using
another area that we work
on. Should be using 1 or less.
The use of underground water. One of our municipalities is the Valley of San Francisco. They have an excellent map of where underground water is actually available. Very soon, if we get to our system back and work with them,
I'm pretty sure lead standards toilets are like a liter and a half.
We need to get a national contract to reduce the cost of the recall.
Jesus Christ.
As well. So these are initiatives within government which we will communicate sooner rather than later from which the public will benefit. But the key is to get the partnership elements right and to resolve some of the immediate issues and lay the basis for the longer term. I think what you've heard already, ladies and gentlemen, is the connection between energy, water, food, and standard of living and livelihood. So let's go into the area of agriculture and livestock, and first invite Mr. Zokwana, who will be followed by Mr. Nkwenge.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, I think that Patmi and Ujoin and the Prime Minister have spoken before me to say that climate change is a threat and the drought is on us. And we support Minister Mulawa in saying that we need to make sure that we follow up on the daily warnings about the situation in the country. And join Minister Mulawa and probably Minister Mugonya in saying that we can only say, we can only be better if we do that which is like to save water. But as agriculture, we let's say that as a sector, we're highly affected. We've seen cattle dying. We've seen plants withering. All that we see is people dying. And we have taken the question to the department to make sure that as each area is noted that our production has conducted a severe difference on water largely due to drought conditions in 2016. Since weather forecast and that signifier rainfall may only be expected by March 2016, then there is a need to foster agricultural development and food security measures despite the effects of drought incidents. Slide number 4 will show that as a department, we have been able to make sure that this situation has been investigated with me in terms of employment, job creation, economic growth.
Can a professional from agriculture come and put this slide on here? The farmers may struggle to service their loans. That is what the problem is. And are starting their credit with business and financial institutions. The risk of loss of income as a consequence of profiteers and even left in farm jobs. This drought can only worsen the hunger and poverty problem. The country may face need to import in the grain such as yellow maize and white maize. Starting to show that talking about food security in the SADC regime means that it's not only South Africa that affected, but the role of the SADC regime. And in South Africa, the situation is as follows. About 14.1 million people of Africa are still predisposed to hunger and malnutrition. Therefore, do not have enough food to eat. Therefore, increasing levels of absolute poverty every year. We need to work hard together and make sure that we work with all the sectors. Slide 6 to show that if the drought impact, the grain industry that says this is about 5% of the world's GDP. About 8 million tons of maize are consumed in South Africa, and the rest is exported to SADC. South Africa is the largest maize producer in the Southern African European Community. There are more than 9,000 commercial as well as 1,000 small scale subsistence producers. The main maize areas are Northwest, Bumalang, and Bosnia and Herzegovina. Impact on droughts in other lands. These two plans project as well shown that the droughts have consistently affected and reduced other lands in South Africa. You can see the first drought that area of land for white maize has been reducing, but also the total area of land for gold has reduced from itself 2.7 million cells to 2.5. South Africa has declined from somewhat sufficient stock levels of white maize until the end of April 2016. Yellow maize stocks will be very tight and we may need to be supplemented. Key to this is the 2015 drought affected a bit of white maize, which is a major staple food for many people. The average maize yield has reduced by 5.8 tons per hectare, the lowest yield since 2008. This will affect the price of maize meal and affordable basic staple food, especially in Maikua and Konerko. Between July 2014 and July 2015, the cost of basic food okay, increased about 21 rand in normal terms. This is from 202 rand. This drought and low maize will have an impact on the second meal. This may become additional disaster. What have we been doing? If you only know about this drought here, the last few months when media protected several animals or writing crops, no, we are fully aware and we have been consciously aware of the climate variety trends and the El Nino alternating with La Nino impact. We are implementing the risk reduction measures in line with the disaster management sector plan. This includes implementing the multi-year program of land development to reduce flood and soil degradation and water loss.
we are promoting conservation agriculture practices for conserved moisture, which means that farmers should not use his irrigation method as usual, but also drip system to prevent water evaporation. Farmers and producers find themselves less vulnerable. We're investing $6 million on this program, collaborating with different local development and land reform, on their animal and plant management improvement program. Through the pillars of third country, we have reduced the drought prevalent main variety that has increased prevalent levels by 20%. We have spent $9 million on drilling holes to livestock water in the state and elsewhere. This forms part of our multi-year program of waste reduction. As part of the awareness campaign, we disseminate early warning information and provide appropriate advice to farmers to farm wisely. We need media capabilities, and we believe that as media and our friends, we must work together to make sure that people are aware of the situation. Through the National Agricultural Marketing Council, we conduct food pricing monitoring. The next report will be released at the launch of Onandi, 15th annual in Victoria. We are fully involved in collaboration with government, women affairs, and science and technology, and working and develop and implement climate adaptation plans and program for the sector. Provision of the 6.5 million project Department of Agriculture for relief, who will leave small scale and farmers in affected provinces. The department is providing 2.6 million supervising of the conditional grants to provide livestock feed and water to small water farmers for both maintaining and the production of animals. And you can see that since we have met last Monday, companies have applied 1,800 bags of feed concentrate to 200 farmers. First, when I have purchased 2,000 tons of water to supply 100 in 7 African districts. Limpopo has distributed 15,000 bags of feed concentrate in 15 depots across the government. We're still collecting the data of the state and other provinces. We make sure that our small scale farmers are assisted and educated to make sure that they're feeding their animals and are which they would them they should compare to sell. But also to manage the size of cattle so that we can manage the self grazing cattle. We want to assist them with temporary grazing and to feed to prepare their animals for safe health and lose their lives. We have engaged IGC and the land bank to assist search farmers to manage their grazing facilities and assist them with stock loans. There is a lot of goodwill to assist following raising of the disaster in those provinces affected. The department has met and is coordinating partners that include labor self-development to prepare for to come to the aid of those hardest hit, especially rural and farm worker households. Through humanitarian, we want to support the recovery of the providing seeds and input when the rain falls. We are coordinating as existing drought health team to monitor and coordinate the response measures appropriately. This team has been meeting regularly, but now we will increase frequency to support emergency measures. It concludes those provinces and the sector on theirs. So NAMAC, the top estimates committee, working with industry, will continue to monitor the demand and supply of the grains and the food prices. And this early warning is required. We shall continue with the media fraternity as partners to disseminate early warning information to advise on food practice. We expect that the cooperation, social security of the media house and the food schools to good use by joining hands with to promote food security and making it easier for ground food information. In conclusion, I am inviting the media houses and cooperate well to support the efforts of government to bring relief to affected areas. We have met, of course, with the commercial farmers and also we are working together to find things we can go to be. What to identify areas where they see so that we can assist provinces, so that we don't put this man aside and not introduce. We make sure that our teams are on the ground. We believe that through this program, we make sure that people can go through. And we believe that as a department, we can well as all things we must draw attention to people who may be overlooked in our society. We should welcome taking this 81 inch information to our people. That's why in their situation, and let apply strict measures in the use of scarce resources. The department was saying that together we both put this situation. We believe that our small voter farmers will be informed of all the centers where this aid is available. Thank you very much.
The importance of the agriculture sector, both agriculture producers and the smallholder farmers. You have now some data about the kind of order support the department is offering, the money that has been allocated to different provinces, the monitoring that's going to occur in terms of their production patterns, the possible impact that it might have on prices, and we'll continue to look at how we mitigate the impact of any rise in prices or abuse in the rise of prices, which often happens in these situations as well, in order to defend the interests of the consumer as well. That is why you'll notice that all the ministers are emphasizing partnership. We want to do this in a collaborative way. We want to do it in a way in which everybody exercises their individual responsibilities and doesn't try to take advantage of the situation in an inappropriate way. Whether we want to buy a tanker, we want to buy a quarter, or we want to look at boreholes, if we all just do our share and do it honestly and make a fair share of profit, without trying to exploit this particular environment, we would have served our country better. Minister in 20 will supplement what Mr. O'Connor has been saying.
Thank you, Minister. 2 weeks ago in Italy, when we were addressing the media, we announced that we sent a team to Bosnia Natal at the invitation of MSF Park to identify lands to allocate for communal land farms to relocate their livestock to such land. And I said I had given them 48 hours to respond in terms of the availability of that land. I want to report now that in Basilunatal, we have allocated 62,000 hectares of land for the festival in the following areas. In terms of Sreli, the required district, 14,000 hectares. In Mvenje, in Gubundogu district, the municipality, 20,000 hectares. In Mkandiflev, in Mkayaku district, we have allocated 8,000 hectares. And the municipality, it's in the moment they are already using this land. And lastly, in Zavanan, the Pungudu district municipality, we've allocated 20,000 hectares. Now, this is under the leadership of the provincial government. I just provided a technical team to support the industry bounce in Basilunatal. Now, most recently, which is the last one, because we are responding to provincial requests on this. In the northwest, which is very recent, we've already allocated 200,000 hectares there. Now, I'm expecting that provincial government, the NEC, will disaggregate this, working with our team, she's succeeding to the provincial team there, to disaggregate this in terms of where this land, or rather, like I've done in Basilunatal in terms of the various restrictions. But you would have noticed that we are targeting communal land. That is where the heaviest or the hardest seed farmers are in the communal land areas. Part of the challenge with the process, the speed of the process, is that communal land farmers are very reluctant to relocate their livestock. Remember, this has come very quick for them, and to say move your livestock. Because if they move their livestock, they must make sure that also ourselves must make sure there are no losses there. So it's a persuasion process. And we are happy that there's that progress that's been made in Basilunatal. And I'm sorry in the Northwest as well. But lastly, we had a program. We discussed this with our team in the department. We have a program in the department unmarried infant, which is what was mentioned by Mrs. Unmarried infant management program, which is meant to assist communal farmers, exactly for purposes like this. It is a program that's looking at rehabilitating the land. It's moving to move livestock, which is overreaching, to these commercial farms that we buy. We'll be struggling, even without the drought, we'll be struggling to persuade them to relocate. We see this drought as an opportunity for us. That's why we've ready land here, because it's our program for us. We have set aside this for these 187 million rands. Now, we have a program with the National Agricultural Marketing Council. They are conducting, that has been going on, it's not responding to drought. We're using this drought as an opportunity. They are constructing feed lots for us across the country. Now, particularly in provinces, the Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal. We're looking at Northwest now, coming here, so that we can, our idea was that we should have these feed lots because we want to transform the thinking of communal stock or national farmers to see this as a commercial, their livestock as commercial. So this is a program, we see this as an opportunity that we actually expand. We have instructed our team that all the 187 million that we make out of the start of the trust, that a lot of that money, I don't know how much is going to be the digit, I say, well, that's just, you know, about 60 million of that money must go to constructing this thing or use this as an opportunity. That's where we are right now, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister. I think at this point we'll just take a few questions. We will be able to give you the presentations, the PowerPoint presentations together with the statement immediately after the briefing. But are there any questions that may some members of the media would like clarification on? I start with Cape Town. Is there any question from Cape Town?
Yes, Suscom Lawyer 400 is Paul, you will go first.
Good morning, Minister. Paul Becky, also from Bloomberg. Minister Mokonyang said the Vaal Dam was 84% full, but according to Rand Water's website, the dam was at 53.5%, and that number was updated 2 days ago. Sorry, if you could just explain that difference there. Second one is, you made no mention of the Ethermine drainage issue. I suppose that a lot of water was supposed to be cleaned. Was there any consideration being given to that to help mitigate the water shortage? And then a question of clarity. You said there the one point on 173 water schemes are also more than 1,600 nationwide, servicing 2.7 million households or 18% of the population. I just wonder, is that the 173 water schemes or the total on the 1,600 water schemes? Thank you.
Anyone? Thank you, Yamani Barakul, Sunday Times. Just a general point to start off with. I was rather astounded at the way in which we were spoken down to by the ministers, with the exception of Minister Nkwinti, and at the way in which all sorts of temperatures and climate and external aspects were being blamed, and very little responsibility was taken by government. From then, the one thing that can be done for commercial farmers is surely to look as guarantees or soft loans. What has government done in that regard? Secondly, the upkeep of infrastructure has been an issue which has been under discussion for many, many years and which has been glibly denied by many local authorities. What is being done to be stricter on the upkeep of infrastructure from government side? And thirdly, you say that these five provinces have been declared disaster areas. Have these disaster areas been gazetted? In the fourth place, the Sandfontein Dam basically consists of water being pumped up from KwaZulu-Natal to service Gauteng. What impact does that have on KwaZulu-Natal? And in finding Minister Mokonyane, I thought you came close to doing what Minister Gordon said you shouldn't, and politicize issues by stating that in a Johannesburg metro the problem lay in the northern suburbs and not in Soweto. Could you give us the living figures, please?
I think the way the question has been framed is utterly wrong. Firstly, this gentleman accuses us of seeking down people. We haven't. I haven't, and none of my colleagues have. I want to express my strong objection to your choice of words. Secondly, politicizing, misstating what are facts. You're not going to find a kingdom with anybody. Whoever has the capacity to reduce the amount of water they use, should use that capacity to reduce the water. And this is an appeal to work, as I said right from the beginning, as one for African team. And look at the journalist, this one's government that misleaded everything wrong. In the process, he's actually criticizing this exchange, which is about facts. It's about what's going on in the country. And it's not about this pointing fingers and blaming people, but asking all of us to cooperate in order that we solve the problems that we have. But we'll come back to the question.
I think I took two journalists. I don't know whether you want me to take all the journalists from Cape Town so that we can finish.
Yes, let's take all of them and then.
Julie Hoveland from the Evlat magazine. I want to find out how much of the drought relief in KwaZulu-Natal, that 96.6 million, will be going to farmers. As usually that 300 and something million, the farmers weren't included in that. And then also on what my colleague Jan Jan said on the gazetting issue, I understand that KwaZulu-Natal needs to declare again the drought because initially the farmers wasn't included, the farming drought, and also they need to be rebudgeted. And then my last question, especially how the dams in the major crop areas is very low. How close are we to a total shutdown or putting restrictions on the irrigation schemes? Thank you.
Makubane, the last one. Thank you, Minister Makubane, from Business Day. First of all, just wanted to ask Minister Makonyane about if there's a figure on how much water is needed to replenish the most troubled provinces, just for early on that, and then secondly, from Minister Zabana on clarity of the 17% quarter-on-quarter contraction, which was mentioned, and what the figures are there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Kumbra.
Thank you. Over to
you,
Minister.
Thank you very much, Minister, and thanks for the question. The Vaal River, just to explain, 80% relates to the Vaal River system, of which the Vaal Dam is one of the dams in the system. That is what we have said. Secondly, the Selman Dam has a capacity of 2,616 million cubic meters. We transfer a maximum of 600 million per annum. In the current hydrological cycle, we have transferred 300 million cubic meters. This is what is now the situation. The other issue, I need to refer to the acid mine drainage. As you see now, we have three, the central basin, the western basin, and the eastern basin, that is one. The eastern basin is under construction. We have moved beyond the short-term emergency intervention. We are now ready with the implementation. We are in discussion with National Treasury on the funding model, but together with the TCPA, which is one of the agencies, and the consultation with Redwater, we are now looking at the long term, which is something that we have committed to do, so that then we can be in a position to deal with the water demand, both for Gauteng as well as for households as well as for industry in Gauteng. I would ask the Trevor Barber to talk on the water that's needed to replenish. As I said, what we have in terms of our own water infrastructure system, we do have sufficient water. What is a problem is the pumping to the end user, the reticulation, because of the high heat that we are now facing. But with your permission, I would like to travel to give the details in that regard. The issues around the scheme, my comment was very clear, but I want to raise that the drought currently affects the 173 of the 1,628 water supply schemes of South Africa. So those are the ones that are highly affected. And hence the issue of storage that is being emphasized. But we now have to harvest the water from these other schemes and transfer the water to those villages that have the high need. And that can only be done through the water storage system, the water catering system. The storage, the development of storage capacity is much better than water catering was. There's minimal water loss when creating water storage. There's innovation that we are now looking at in terms of the emergency pipe that we have also put just to move water from one side to the other. And that is what is being considered to give the augmentation as we see now with some of the type of projects on that. The resources that have been provided for the resources that help in terms of water security in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, Minister Robin and Minister Mbuti have spoken about the interventions that have been put with regard to relief to farmers. We were looking at the issues of augmenting water infrastructure and water security and dealing with demand management. So the resources that one was referring to has gone towards that, and in return, farmers become also beneficiaries, as I said, but we have a multi-disciplinary team that is working in this regard. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. If I may, just very briefly, I just want to touch on the question asked by Lango Vietla, how much with the outdated drought relief to both farmers. Minister Robert will touch on this one, but I just thought that as South Africans, we also need to look at the support to farmers in another way as well. Because another expenditure that's being incurred on support to farmers, this whole program on working on fire, you know that farmers in situations like El Nino, where we are right now, are also continuously experiencing wildfires on an ongoing basis. Just this year, for instance, we anticipate that we will have to fight fires that are close to about 3,000. And there has been a budget allocated in that regard, by the way, budget supporting farmers, both small and commercial, allocated 528 million rand just in this financial year. So that should be seen as support to farmers as well. There's money allocated also to farmers in dealing with working on land. There's two amounts, 93 million rand for ecosystems now is ensuring that the farming community does not continue to experience problems in relation to shortage of water, in relation to all those issues. So there's 93 million rand allocated, and budget has provided with that money for 2015-2016 on the working on ecosystem, and for working on land from our side is 27 million that's been allocated. I can go on and on, but also the working on fires was almost 1.3 billion rand allocated for this program to assist and support our farmers. All these are supporting the ecosystems, and in particular, the farming community. So there's 1.3 billion rand, the 528 million rand, the 93 million rand and 27 million rand, the 111 million rand for working for wetlands. That's over and above that which is allocated to farming community, support them as direct grants, as opposed to direct grants that go to agriculture.
I'm just going to ask Mr. Bowser to come in first, and then Ms. Kerry on the developing story.
Thanks, Ministers. Just to respond and add to the response already given by Minister Mokonyane to the questions, when we talk of augmenting the systems, particularly in the drought period, we're taking water from those dams are, which have reasonable supply in them to some dams which are dangerously low. If I first just refer to the Vaal River system, which Minister Mokonyane has already touched on with regard to transfers from the upper Tugela, the Vaal River system, by nature of the system, takes quite a number of years to respond, even after we've had a wet season. So we annually, starting in May of the year, assess the system capacity. We take into account whether we have a hydrological or a meteorological drought. Okay. Thanks, Minister. I do apologize for this. So what we do at the start of the hydrological season, we've got a number of tools we use. The hydrological season, so I thought everyone had heard that this Minister mentioned that the hydrological season is from 1st of October to the end of September every year. So typically for the Vaal River system, in May of this year, and that would be at the end, once the full system has received the water from the summer rainfall, we would then do a system analysis to determine, on the basis of having drought conditions, what the soil moisture contents are, what the precipitation indexes are, and looking at our records backwards, and it could be 40, 50 years of records, we would then run a model to see, on the worst case scenario, how do we manage the Vaal River system. And on the basis of that analysis we did this year, and Minister Mokonyane announced it at the press conference on the 1st of November, is that we don't anticipate that from the Vaal River system we would need to consider any significant restrictions before 2019. In order to reach that projected date, we however had to transfer, at the start of this hydrological season, 300 million cubic meters from the upper Tugela system. And we moved that through a number of dams up until we get to the Kilburn Dam, where we then use Eskom to help us to move the water over the mountain into the Sackfontein Dam. So in effect, the Sackfontein Dam, which is larger than the Vaal Dam, we keep it as our bank. And the reason that we keep it up there is that the evaporation losses from the Sackfontein are much lower than the Vaal Dam. Vaal Dam's got a very wide, big surface area, very shallow dam, so the evaporation is very high. And that's why if you look at the weekly dam levels, you'll see that the Vaal Dam drops, well, it might look like it drops quite significantly week on week. What about the other transfers that we've done? Minister touched on the issue of the Hazelmere Dam. And the Hazelmere Dam, what we've done there is we've been transferring 8 megalitres of water. That's 8 million litres of 8 million litres a day from the Tongati River into the Hazelmere to stabilize the flow, to keep it above 25%. And if we look at the box plots or the statistical analysis of our drawdown over the last couple of months from Hazelmere, we've managed to maintain that level because of our transfers and also because of the introduction of 30% mandatory restrictions on the northern areas of Itekwini. We're going to have to review that in the coming week because the Tongati River is drying up somewhat, so we will review that, and there might be a need to increase the level of restrictions. Likewise, on the on the Hoedertra Dam, we've also done some transfers into the Hoedertra Dam, but we look at the tracking there, and because of the reduction in water made available or being used by the fire for farming activities, we see that we stabilise the level of that dam as well. Now, Ministers, colleagues, I could go on and touch on all of the other dams where we have interventions in place, but I'll just use those three as an example to indicate the actions taken under the ship of the minister by the Department of Water and Sanitation in terms of managing our reservoirs in the country, of which there are 260 odd major reservoirs. Sorry, interchangeably we use the term reservoir and dam. I talk of a reservoir, major reservoir. Some people would turn that a dam. So we manage those dams across the country. Someone might also ask about what about the Western Cape? The Western Cape being a summer rainfall season, we do that assessment in the Western Cape in November. So next week we will do the assessment of Western Cape to see what type of restrictions might have to be applied there. Western Cape?
Winter rainfall.
Winter rainfall. What did I call it? Sorry, my apologies. Summer rainfall area. I'm wishing for winter already. So in the winter rainfall area, we do that assessment in November. And typically for the Western Cape, we would look at a real serious event of around 2 to 3 years, as opposed to the 8 years which we use on the bar. Because in the winter rainfall area, those dams have a much quicker recovery period. They rise and they fall in a quicker period of time. But that's, ministers and colleagues, we'll come up with those numbers once we've done the assessment in November, and there might be a need, looking at the current levels, just in looking at historical information, there might indeed be a need for some restrictions in the Western Cape. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Minister. Just confirmation that of the provinces that have declared disasters, the four provinces, KZN, Northwest, Limpopo, and the Limpopo, have tracked gazetted. The only one that has declared the disaster by cabinet of Mpumalanga, I think the process of gazetting will be finalized in next week.
And the question was, did KZN need to read the gazette?
Minister, the information that we have received from KZN, they are busy with the process of reclassification which would lead to gazette, but they haven't finalized that process yet.
Okay, so the question was an accurate one. This is a point. Guaranteeing the top loans.
Thanks, Mr. President. Maybe it's because there was no place. Sorry. I have said that we have met with the banks, and we have met ITC and then banks, and the report we have got from the commercial farmers to the president of AgriSA is that they are happy with the work we're doing in trying to create a dialogue in which short loans can be given to farmers for the loss they have made. And I compare with Minister Leo to say, beyond what we're doing now in the current scenario, there's a lot of money that the government is spending in assisting farmers. So I believe that there will be a meeting very soon. Understand that FA and the DG have been in constant discussion. Because we wanted to quantify what has been the extent of loss, but we know very well that claims have been affected. On the issue of 17% quarter-on-quarter loss, the figures were from Stanford SA, but the department can confirm that the area that has been planted increased from 2.7 hectares to 2.5 last in 2015 due to the effect of drought. And I said that we may be compelled at some point to look at other methods to augment our shortages.
Okay, finally, let me address the question of infrastructure. And here, we've been doing a number of things. So there are parts of South Africa where municipal infrastructure is 30, 40, 50 years old. And some municipalities do have programs and funds in order to refurbish that old infrastructure. And yet in other places, more assistance is actually required. Secondly, there is in some parts neglect of infrastructure. So the focus is on putting in new infrastructure as opposed to operating and maintaining current infrastructure. In response to these things, several things are being done. Firstly, we're encouraging municipalities to set aside between 7% and 8% of their operational budget for maintenance purposes. Secondly, we're looking at ways of bulk and efficient implementation of municipal infrastructure. Thirdly, we're looking at finding a way of leveraging the municipal infrastructure grant with other funding from outside of government. So bigger projects can in fact be managed quicker are you operating your infrastructure properly? Do you have the right skills to operate your infrastructure properly? And are you undertaking the necessary maintenance? We will be going out together with our colleagues from water and sanitation and ensuring that we undertake on-the-ground inspections to see what is actually going on. The next important point which we achieved yesterday is with Mestos, and I would invite Mayor Tao, the representative of the mayors, to say a few words in a moment, is to, at least in the Palestinian region, get what we call operational cohesion through the establishment of a joint center, strengthening the capabilities that we already have. They will be meeting virtually every morning to establish what's going on, what needs to change. And I think if we are listening to Mr. Bowser carefully, the water system in South Africa, and I'm learning myself, is a very dynamic system. It's a system where you can, in most parts of the country, shift water around. In most parts of the city, you can move water around in order to supplement those areas that might have difficulty in accessing water in the normal kind of way. As Mayor Tao has said to you, in parts of our topography, higher-lying areas have greater difficulties because of pressure-related problems. But those are all the issues that we ask our operations team to begin to look at on a daily basis now. The second point is that we want municipalities to provide, as I said earlier, on clear schedules to the public in the event that there's going to be any either shortage of supply or lack of supply to businesses and to households as well. Secondly, we are saying that I'm sure we are all going to agree that the demand side is the key in many of our environments, and a lot more needs to be done to raise our collective consciousness, to ask for every South African to ask, what is it that I can contribute? And on one of the radio shows yesterday, I said that businesses should get prizes for innovative ideas so that we can create some excitement around this. In-name of the nation is also a problem. And that's why the Minister of Water and Sanitation has sponsored the War on Leaks program. The last point is you'll get a copy of a letter that has been sent to every mayor last night. And in this letter, we're actually asking them to pay focused attention to the issue of drought and water shortage. And they're being asked, what is the extent of drought water supply problem in your area? Report to us in 1 week. Our water leaks is part of a War on Water Leaks program, fixed within hours and through a concerted program. In other words, many of your radio stations and so on are hearing, I'm seeing water leaking for 10 hours or 2 days or 3 days, and we're going to put a lot of pressure on our municipalities to react a lot more quickly to avoid these sorts of problems. Is all infrastructure being refurbished? Is the public being kept informed? And what are the extraordinary measures being taken to mitigate some of this, to see the risk of this when you actually get to later? Back to you.
Thank you. Mayor, one second.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Minister. Just a few comments. The issue that we have raised amongst the metros in particular, South and Grand Water, to initiate a process where we can assist Grand Water in particular to at least reach equilibrium between water demand and supply, first instance, and secondly, to be able to increase its storage of water. Because that's important for us to be able to guarantee the reliability of supply to the medium term. And within ourselves, the following week, to ensure that we introduce additional measures to help our community so that we're able to reach that level where we can say that at least the production and supply is matched with actual demand in the first instance, and then we're able to increase the capacity at least from the suppliers point of view to be able to store water. And for us, that's an important thing, because we've taken a view that we have a collective responsibility to the entire supply area of Gauteng in relation to the extent that Grand Water becomes the primary source of supply into the system. So we need to be able to manage the water system as a collective as opposed to individual municipalities and its supply, so to say. The second point that I thought was important to make is to emphasize in the point that we raised yesterday. 46% of the water supply to domestic users is currently going towards Gatine. particularly in cases where my experience is a heat wave and lack of rain. We have to encourage people to change the exact way of reducing the consumption. We also can reduce that pollution by half, in fact, this problem in the housing area of the city. But the reality is that we have now find ways of encouraging people to change the way which they engage with their patterns. We might have to reduce some of the behavior and change, but it is starting point to think that it is about forming a partnership and avoiding some community that's ready. Can we reduce the amount of water and water scarcity so that we can be able to replenish the situation and currency supply into the mainland? And for us, it's an important thing to continuously emphasize that. And we would want to get to a point where we would be able to call on the people and say, can we reduce our happening? And we don't have to police it, or we don't have to sort of the system, or we don't have to structure or cut off the system. That would be the idea. And that's what we've been working with our community on. But the reality is that depending on how the system behaves over the next few days, that different decisions that we have to make to enable us to be able to come. But our emphasis is to work towards with our community to be able to reach a point of enlightenment. The last point that relates to the point that was raised earlier, and I think there was some further question about the possibility of utilizing asset mine water, giving asset mine water to become potable water. Now, we completed a test in Johannesburg for asset and laboratories with a potential technology that can enable us to do that. We are here for the results. We now need to provide the results to the minister, and on the basis of those results, then engage the resources of where the asset mine water would be generated from. And from there, we'll be able to make the best announcement. So the results themselves are not the end of the situation. The people of Georgia would know they could continuously test it. We're testing the situation, we're testing the technology. We've completed that, but we don't need to go through the process to be able to make pronouncements about the future of utilizing the mine. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mayor. I think we'll only take one or two here in Pretoria, if there is any. I think we had quite an extensive briefing from the ministers. And of course, this is not the last one. They will arrange a brief as we go along. So is there any specific question? Yes.
Good day, everyone. My name is Jonathan Nabromo. I'm with African Union in Pretoria. Just want to ask Minister Fernandez, there are attempts to hard to stop the leakages in municipalities, but do you have a figure or a percentage, so to speak, about the amount of water which is going to the leakages as of now? Thank you so much.
My question is also not based so much on what you said. It's more of a social issue. There is some extravaganza that is coming into the country and starting in Cape Town, in a town called Mega City. Each event, of 15 events that are going to happen up until February, are going to use about 40,000 liters of water per day. Now, the company that is doing the trip there, the level that is for recycled. On the other hand, you've got people that are saying, you know, why should it happen in a situation where there's a drought and water shortages? What is the theme of the task team about this? You know, the issue of climate has indicated that they will pull out, or they could pull out, if it's not in the interest of the city. You know, what situation, how does the task team look at this extra hand?
There was one in front.
Minister, you have been going regarding these issues. Do you have any figures on the hotline where we can report these things? Currently, how many of those reports are coming in?
Minister Malaya, we obviously talked about the various climate predictions, long and short term, that your team is doing. You know, you said the El Nino is going to probably affect the drought for some of it. Is there a prediction in terms of how long this drought will last? And my understanding is not only the El Nino that is causing it, what are the major figures that your team has?
I'm Leanne George from Network 24 Media Control. And for Mr. Mokanyani, we understand that Rand Water has reached its capacity for supplying the 20 meter with water from Gong River system. And that opposition parties in the 20 meter say they'll only be able to get more water in 2023 when the city of Highland scheme second phase will next take this message. Please comment on that. Thank you.
Those are the only questions, and we then close this over to you, Minister.
Okay, thanks for the opportunity. I think it's important to understand that under normal circumstances, we don't have a problem in terms of supply money. But the important thing here is the system design in terms of how our hydraulic system works. We first start from the same system, supply to Uberk, and then from there, part of it goes to Inkululene as well to the city of Swan. Now, the important thing now with what has been said by the minister is the amount of water as well that goes first to Johannesburg before it moves from the same system to the city of Swan. So the current problem, I think, what has been suggested by the minister would actually go a long way in terms of system standardization, and if we can do that, then we won't have a problem. What needs to be understood is the figure that you referred to is actually based on the next phase in terms of the organization. But as we know itself, we have plans that by March next year, which we are trying to actually pull up to end of January, based on the current crisis, we're looking at putting an extra 200 megaliters in the system, and early 2017 we will be doing the first system in terms of our own operations, looking at an extra 300 megaliters, and I think about 9 months down the line, another 300 megaliters. So either May, we think by 2018 we should have an extra 1,000 megaliters capacity over and above what we have. But the important thing here to stress is the current issue relates to the current demand that is more than supply, but under normal circumstances, on average, we have more than enough if you look at our production capacity plus storage. And the information that what the minister has been saying has been around how we ensure that we can limit to normal production. But looking at it long term, it's quite important, as the mayor was saying now, to at some point, unless we are able to stabilize the system, take very serious decisions. That would still mean normally the amount of water available in the system should be able to cater for everybody. It's just how we use it. And whether now, in terms of the other questions, we are able to deal with that we lose based on best patch and all that. So that combination is actually made so that we can get through this situation. Thank you.
We understand that there are regards to the water leaks, that includes also illegal connections. We're losing almost 7 billion rand worth of water, and that's why we are now working together with all our municipalities to put together North African water infrastructure maintenance plan. We are laying new pipelines in Ekurhuleni to deal with these interventions. We are removing a special site to deal with these situations. We've made drastic interventions in the area of Mati Bay, where there was also a vandalism that was going through. And we are also giving support where municipalities have yet to develop a capacity by us providing through our water board the needed capacity to deal with this situation. The summer slide is from Akanza. We have to make choices as a country. I know that there's been discussions with the provincial, the regional office in the Western Cape, but there's also discussions here with us in the department of Oxford. Yes, we must use water for recreation, but we have to make a hard choice. The issue of using the recycled water for that would also be one of the things that we definitely have to look at. But if there's going to be a demand for such water that can be used for domestic consumption, that is why the issue of flood is quite relevant. That was the source that the extravaganza was created on. But we try to show that we may find one another, and there has to be adaptation
under such conditions. Thank you. Thank you very much, for the present. The issue really about the El Nino period, as I said earlier on, that we have a unit in Seoul that used with this tradition. We have a short term and a long term, and the long term one is being done on the basis of about up to 6 months. So it is for that reason that we say for now we are aware and we know that up until the beginning of the end of summer, at least now we know that up until the end of summer. So going forward beyond that period, there will be better traditions which extend over another 6 months period. So for now we're not able to say what will July be like, what will be the social culture of those children, but we'll have them as month to month as we get into the period. There's also, by the way, other influences that are causing this El Nino. As you know, we're doing predictions on the boiling of the ocean, the winds that are blowing in the ocean, various kinds of variables that are being considered by the teams that deals with predictions. So it's also not given that at any given time there would be like a standing kind of a normal what we predict today would be subjected to those variables as well on an ongoing basis. What we also have been told by this tradition team is that sometimes, but by the way, this doesn't mean that there won't be rain completely. There will continue to be rain sporadic here and there, especially on the eastern part of our province, of our country, the areas of KwaZulu-Natal. It may not quite be adequate, but there will continue to be those sporadic rains, sometimes in thunder. Because after such a rain, we do expect that there will be the thunderstorms. And this is the reason why, yesterday, quite a lot of scientists also in one house to look at lightning effects, because we know that we are actually the highest country with the number of deaths from lightning. Having said that, I also want to say that this then brings into play the international scenario. Why we are sitting at the world level negotiating very hard to get responses by the world on climate change impacts is because of this particular matter, because if we don't do anything at that level of reducing the carbon emissions, we are likely to get this El Nino and the situation going on and on and on. We don't actually exacerbate more by climate change conditions. So at international level, we are saying this year around in November, December, we must get that world agreement that actually requires every one of us as a world, every country, to act on carbon emission reduction. It's not only South Africa that we will act. We cannot make an impact if we act alone or few countries act alone, but we have to all act. And that agreement is very, very important. Although it's going to be implemented just after 2020, it's important to get it in place so that we are ready ourselves. Right now, you know, we have actually submitted 159 countries, really, we submitted our intended nationally determined contributions to our actions, which we will have to implement. So 159 countries of 184, 90 countries of the world have submitted. Quite enormous. They're saying that they will act. So we'll then have to allocate that. We have, by the way, bringing us that's about 2.7 degrees Celsius, which is still not required. We require 0 degrees for the world actually
have
to experience this
lesser
impact.
So in conclusion, what you are hearing is that we have to have a 6-month window in mind. But in terms of the global picture, there are wider sets of issues that one minister has mentioned that we need to take into account. Secondly, we re-emphasize that we want to partner with all sectors in South Africa, work as a South Africa team to tackle the immediate issues, but also start encouraging all of us to make the personal adaptations, business adaptations, technology adaptations that will enable us to save water on the one hand, but also find new sources of water as well. Much of this, if possible, must happen through persuasion, amongst us and a higher level of awareness of some of the issues that we are confronted with. At the same time, so we will be working with the municipalities to make sure that they have appropriate bylaws in place, that those bylaws are well advertised amongst the public, and that where appropriate, they must be implemented as well. Thank you very much for your patience on behalf of all of us.
Thank you. And we've come to the end of the briefing. You want to even okay? You know this Arena called Asking Dave Gatti to explain in simple terms. I mean, like, really?
I mean, she said those terms in the presentation. Like, the minister in her presentation used those terms.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if it, we don't know the meteorological makeup of the weather and hydrological is water. It's like, we need to explain now, very...
can all of you look at this drink? Take a drink with you for your toilet system. This is the drink.
Thank you.